Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all our listeners. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mlio Gavaza, and for today, we are going to be talking about a little bit about what's going on in the market. We often hear about the stock market, about the so-called market, about equities, about stocks, you know, all of these things when it comes to the realm of investment. Usually when we talk to fund managers on this platform and analysts, we're usually looking at you know, what's going on in a particular field and industry, you know, what's going on in the investment landscape. And for today, we are talking about a sector that is near and dear to my heart, because for the Business Day and Financial Mail, I particularly cover telecoms, media and technology companies. And you know, for today, it's I'm joined by someone that I've engaged with on a couple of occasions, you know, way more than once, you know, and he always gives very valuable contributions to our stories in the Business Day and Financial Mail around what's going on in the telecom sector. So that's what we're going to be talking about, and especially at this point, because telecoms have become very important during the pandemic time, because they really are enabling us to work from home and for a lot of people to learn from home as well. So we're joined by David Lurch, who is head of equities at Sanlam Private Wealth. David, good morning to you.
Morning, Madiba.
I think a good place for us to start, you know, very privileged to have you, you know, on this platform with us, is to, you know, maybe get a sense before we get into the meat and potatoes of things, to maybe get a sense of your actual role, because we know that you recently became head of equities. Before this, you were senior, you know, analyst around, you know, issues around telecoms and the like. What does the role actually entail? You know, out of curiosity, how did you find yourself, you know, covering telecoms?
Right. Yeah, when I first joined the investment industry back in 2008, I used to work for a sell-side stockbroker. So we used to service the big institutional clients. And there I was an analyst on the sell side, and I used to cover telecoms companies there. I did that for, gosh, 8 or 9 years. And then from there, I moved to Sanlam Private Wealth, which was one of my clients. Came here, expanded my horizons a little bit beyond just the telecoms and one or two other sectors that I used to cover. Cover a much wider section of the market, but I've got a very long standing and deep knowledge of the telecoms industry. And then, yeah, you know, in my sort of new role, I'm looking even wider across the equity universe. But I've got such a long history with telecoms that it still holds a little bit of a place in my heart.
Okay, cool. That definitely makes sense. Now, when it comes to this sector in particular, the issue of telecoms, you know, over the last year, technology companies in general around the world were doing well, you know, because as we sort of alluded to at the start of the conversation, increased communications demand, increased demand for internet services, all of these things. But would you say that all of that excitement in the market has translated for local telecoms players, especially from an investment point of view?
I don't think so, but I think that's fair. And, you know, if you maybe take a step back and you look at the fantastic performance of the share prices of the likes of Google, Facebook, Amazon, even Naspers, which of course is listed on our own market. You know, these are proper technology companies, and they have done fantastically. I think probably the biggest reason that they've done so well in terms of their share prices is that for them, it doesn't cost that much to add an extra user. So, you know, certainly the share prices of our South African listed telecoms companies, they're up over the, let's call it the last 13, 14 months since the beginning of February, which we'll take as kind of a pre-COVID starting point. But our companies are up a lot less than the global tech giants. And, you know, I think that's fair, because telecoms businesses have done quite well out of the pandemic in terms of, you know, more and more people using their products, whether it's things like the discussion we're having today, going over the internet rather than historically it might have been over the telephone. But so much of our communication is no longer face to face and it uses the telecom networks. So, you know, they've certainly seen huge jumps in demand for their products, big jumps in volume. And it's helped the revenues, and of course the profits as well to an extent of the telecoms company. But when you're growing the traffic on your network at the pace that they have been, you have to actually invest money to keep the network able to handle the traffic. So while for, say, Google, or Facebook, it costs almost nothing to add additional users, for a telecoms company, they do actually have to invest in the underlying network, to make that happen, to enable themselves to carry the traffic. And of course, this is made so much worse, by the fact that, the South African government, has now been, I think, for more than 10 years promising the issuance of new spectrum. That new spectrum, we saw recently still isn't going to arrive according to the most recent plan. But I think, over the last 10, 11 years, new spectrum has been 18 months away for 10 or 11 years. So, yeah, that also makes their lives more difficult. But yes, in general, I think, demand for products has been higher through the pandemic for the telecoms players. But I don't think you can look at them in the same light as the sort of true global tech giants, who have fantastic network effects, to their businesses, where every new customer is almost pure profit.
Now that we've sort of got that as a baseline, and we now, just from your explanation to distinguish, I guess what, especially the cost structure when it comes to telecoms companies versus your global tech companies, how would you say the investment case of each one of the big operators? Because we've in South Africa, there's a bunch. You've got Vodacom, MTN, Telkom, Cell C, Rain, Liquid Telecom to some extent, and then all the fiber operators, etc. But in the listed space, we usually talk about Vodacom, MTN, and Telkom, not so much about Cell C because they aren't directly listed. So I guess given those considerations, if we actually just zoom in on telecoms companies, how have they specifically performed? How are their investment cases looking?
Yes, I think it's quite interesting, the investment cases, and I'll just talk about the listed ones because, you know, I think that's a little bit more relevant. But the investment cases between the three are actually quite different. So now if I look at the MTN investment case, it's very much about continued growth in the rest of Africa. You know, the South African market isn't growing particularly quickly, whereas the operations around the rest of the continent are actually doing very nicely. So MTN's case, I think it really sort of hinges on three things. First, as I said, continued growth around the rest of the continent. The second one is MTN's ability to actually bring back profits from Nigeria. They have a fantastic business in Nigeria. It's growing well. They sell a lot of data there. They make excellent margins and good profits in Nigeria, but all of that profit, because of exchange controls in Nigeria, MTN at the moment isn't actually able to bring back dividends from their Nigerian business. So it looks beautiful on paper, but right now they can't get the cash out. So a huge part of the investment case for MTN is if and when that changes and they are able to get the cash out of Nigeria, then the market will attribute proper value to that business, which it certainly isn't doing at the moment. And then maybe the third piece of the puzzle for MTN is that they are in the process. They've been doing it for a couple of years already. There's still a few years to go, but they're in the process of cleaning up their portfolio. So that means a few different things. It means exiting some internet related businesses, that they've been involved with historically, from a business that is essentially the Uber of Iran, to some tower businesses. They're looking to clean up their portfolio. And they're also looking to clean up their geographic exposure. So, you know, they have operations in some of the wildest places in the world. Yemen, Afghanistan are two of the particularly wild places that MTN is looking to exit those markets. But, you know, they want to do it in such a way that they get value for the businesses there. So, you know, on a combined basis, that's kind of how I think about the investment case for MTN. And I think it's clear that there's quite a lot of room for improvement, there. And they do look like they are now on the right path. If we then sort of switch our thought process across to Vodacom, Vodacom hasn't had the historic issues that MTN has. And that's why the share price has been far less volatile over the last year. Really the investment case for Vodacom is that they just carry on executing really well. Vodacom has a very efficient management team, with an excellent record, of achieving what they should. And because Vodacom is also more about the SA business than its businesses in the rest of the continent, Vodacom is a much more stable business when you look at it in Rand terms. The one sort of area that does look quite exciting for Vodacom is mobile money. So for those who aren't aware, Vodacom also owns a little bit more than a third of Safaricom, which is the big mobile operator in Kenya. And Safaricom, for more than a decade now, has been running something called M-Pesa, which is basically a way to transfer money from one person to another just using a telephone number. And they've been growing that and growing that beautifully in Kenya. And now Vodacom for the last few years has been spreading that M-Pesa product around the rest of its markets. It's doing particularly well in Tanzania, doing quite nicely in Mozambique and the DRC. So that mobile money space is, I think, Vodacom's one growth vector. But mostly the investment case for Vodacom hinges around making good profits in South Africa, paying good dividends to the shareholders, and being a stable, predictable business, which certainly has a place in anyone's portfolio. And you can see that around about this time last year, when it's hard to believe that the world was panicking quite as hard as it was this time last year. Markets were falling everywhere. And Vodacom, through the depths of the crisis, when the overall market was down, I think 30% or 40%, Vodacom was down far less because it is such a stable, predictable business. If I then move sort of across to Telkom, totally different investment case again, where this one is more about Telkom's mobile business actually overtaking the fixed business. Now, this has been quite a long road for Telkom, where their fixed business has been declining for many years. The mobile business has been growing off a low base for a number of years. And finally, now you're getting to a point where mobile is bigger than fixed. And that changes the growth dynamic of that business as a whole, because the big part is now growing and the small part is the one that's shrinking. So it's becoming less and less relevant. So Telkom's growth should probably be accelerating over the coming years, off a little bit of a low base. And yeah, Telkom really is just all about this mobile business actually making money. Because remember, for the first 8 or 9 years, this business didn't even make profits at an EBITDA level, let alone at a sort of free cash flow level. So we're now seeing Telkom starting to deliver from its mobile business as well.
David, as you're talking, you know, I want to really zoom in on MTN, but before that, I was just having a bit of a think as you were talking about MTN, Vodacom and Telkom. Because the ownership structure of the three operators is different, do you think that in some way has affected, I guess, what their actual strategy is or how they implement it? Because Telkom is, you know, close to 40% owned by the government. We always call them partially state-owned. Vodacom is 60%. It should be 60% owned by Vodafone. So it's got a sort of a big brother figure sitting above it. Even though Vodacom is a group on its own, it still has the Vodafone influence sitting above it, as it has had that for decades now. Whereas MTN is its own holding company. in terms of that. Do you think that plays in any way into how they've executed or just gone in with their strategies?
Yeah, I think it does make a difference. As you say, Vodacom, big shareholding. I think it's closer to 65% that is held by Vodafone. And the joy of that is Vodafone is probably the big global leader. They've got operations all around the world. And what they bring to Vodacom is twofold. First, they bring global best practice. So from everywhere around the world, things that they may have learned, whether it's in the UK or India or Egypt, or elsewhere in Europe, they can bring those learnings to Vodacom. And quite often they bring that via actual humans that they move around the Vodafone group to bring global best practice. So that has helped Vodacom remain very efficient. And the other thing that, or there's maybe two other things that help. One is Vodacom gets quite cheap debt. They can borrow money from Vodafone probably a bit more cheaply, and they can borrow from the South African banks. So that helps them a little bit. And then they get the benefit of Vodafone's global procurement scale. So when Vodacom needs to buy equipment to put up new towers, it probably costs them a little bit less for the same tower than it might cost MTN, and MTN will still be able to get it for a bit cheaper than Telkom will, because MTN's scale is bigger. Telkom, certainly having that government shareholder, has been visibly part of that business. It's meant that although Telkom has reduced its labor force very substantially over the last probably 20, 25 years, they've probably not done it as quickly as they should have. So Telkom maybe remained less efficient than they could have been for a long time. That's changed a little bit since Sipho Maseko became in charge some years ago now. But I think having that government shareholder has maybe held Telkom back a bit. And then on the other end of the scale, MTN, as you say, that is its own business. What that means is there's maybe a little bit less oversight on group management. And certainly while the business was doing very well up until, say, 2014, 2015, management maybe had a little bit more free rein than they should have. And, certain investments were made that, have now been shown to not be the smartest way to allocate capital. But at the same time, I think it's also just depends on multiple different factors, which geographies you might be in. MTN is in true frontier markets. And yeah, those come with natural volatility.
Now, one of the things when we actually zoom into the last operator you spoke about, that's MTN, it's been very fascinating to watch MTN's share price in the last sort of week, because on the day that they announced their year-end earnings for 2020, we saw the share price taking a dip. I think they initially, lost about 4%, paid their losses, and closed the day about 2% down. And, at the time, the thinking was that because they've withheld a dividend, all of these things, but the next day is where the tide just sort of turned, and we've just been seeing the share price climbing to where it rose, more about 20% in 3 days, which is, quite a feat. What do you make of this? Is it a signal to us that the market is now risk off? What's happening?
I think it's much more stock specific, the MTN situation. So yes, on the first day, you had probably the market being driven by those who were expecting a dividend and suddenly weren't getting it. And then the next day, because MTN is a big, very, very complicated company with operations in more than 20 countries, multiple currencies, all sorts of complicated accounting, it's a big beast to try and understand. So it often takes everyone a day or so to figure out exactly what's going on here. So that's what you saw the day after results. People had done their work through the results day and then overnight, and then had decided actually there is plenty of value in MTN. They bid the price up quite substantially. And I think probably the biggest driver of that is management at MTN came out with new, quite clear plans for the business. And really those plans are pointing towards a level of growth that is higher than the market had been previously expecting. So, you know, before they came out with these plans, the market was expecting a certain level of growth. These plans point to more growth. So therefore that is probably positive for the share price. And then the second part, as I mentioned earlier, they gave it a little bit more clarity around how they're going to be cleaning up their portfolio, getting rid of some of the non-core assets. And then I think maybe the last piece is that, you know, I mentioned earlier Vodacom and their sort of participation in mobile money. MTN also has a very nice mobile money business. And of course, MTN is active across a lot more countries in Africa. MTN's mobile money business is in an earlier stage of its development, but it is growing very nicely, be it in Uganda, Ghana, Nigeria, elsewhere in West Africa as well. And MTN specifically came to the market and said they're going to look to kind of separate out the mobile money business from the core telecoms business and maybe bring in some sort of partner there. And the excitement, I think, for the market in that instance is that, you know, that will then be looked at as a pure fintech business. And around the world, we see fintech kind of businesses really being given much, much higher valuations because of the exciting growth prospects within fintech. So MTN's kind of positioning that business as one of the two main fintech players within the African continent. And I think the market quite likes the outlook for that as well.
You know, just canvassing the market players, you know, after the results day last week, one of the thoughts was to say, like what you said, separating out that fintech business. Do you think there's any credence in perhaps listing that business in the medium term?
Who knows? Who knows? I don't really think that it's likely to be listed in the next couple of years. Everything, of course, is possible, but I think it's much more likely that MTN would look to get a partner in to that business. And, you know, their logic is that essentially fintech is just like it's a fancy bank. So, you know, running a bank is very different from running a telecoms network. So, you know, I think they're looking to get some sort of partner in who's got a little bit more banking expertise that understands banking better than MTN does. And then, so that partner will bring the banking side, and how to run the back end and the systems. And MTN brings this very large customer base. I think it's now 280 million customers around Africa and the Middle East. So MTN brings that big customer base. And of course, most importantly, they bring the distribution, because that's what your mobile phone is nowadays. That is the distribution for a bank. So, you know, this is a branchless bank network, which has a lot of value in itself. So I don't really think it's right for a listing just yet. And I think it'll probably take a couple of years for them to figure out exactly how to separate the pieces from each other in some ways while still keeping them integrated in others.
We'll certainly be keeping an eye on that one. Very exciting developments, and especially given some of the projections that MTN has for that fintech business of theirs. But taking sort of a step back again to look at the sector as a whole, I think earlier on you made the comparison for us just around how local telecoms players have compared to the big global companies. But, you know, when you sort of separate them out and then compare them to their counterparts on the JSC as a sector, I guess, you know, how have telecoms operators done?
Right. And I think for this comparison, it's probably best to look at things relative to a kind of a little bit before COVID. So, you know, if I give you the numbers from, say, the beginning of February last year, the JSE as a whole is up around about 19%. Vodacom over that same period up a little bit less, only up about 14%. But you would have had some dividends in there as well. So, you know, Vodacom has performed over the last 13 and a half months or so very much in line with the JSE. MTN's up about 10%, so a little bit behind the JSE. The biggest cause of that, of course, is that oil price dropped a long way at times last year. And, of course, American crude oil for a day or two even went negative. But, you know, Brent oil got down to something somewhere around about $20 a barrel. That's bad for Nigeria as a country. And, you know, at that point, became clear that there'd be currency issues in Nigeria and MTN might not get the cash out, some of the things I spoke about earlier. So, you know, MTN's only up about 10%, so as I said, a bit behind the market. Over that same 13 and a half month period, Telkom is actually up about 30%, so nicely ahead of the market over that period, mostly because it came from quite a low base. Market expectations at that point for Telkom were reasonably negative, and then they received the benefit from the pandemic for the mobile side of the business. Obviously, it was very bad for the fixed side of the business that looks after you know, old school landlines and companies. But overall, you know, I think Telkom's share price improvement does show that the market is a little bit happier with the outlook for that business than they were a little bit over a year ago.
And then I think the other one, you know, because sometimes when we have economists on this platform, we always ask for, you know, an outlook. And I think we expect that from them. But as, you know, from an investment point of view, how do you look at, you know, outlook in the sector, you know, I guess for the rest of the year?
All right. Yeah, I think probably the biggest thing for the sector as a whole will be to see if the growth can be sustained, particularly sort of from over the next 6 months, because you're coming or you're comparing to a very strong base where during the worst of lockdown, you know, that was very good for the telcos operators. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see if they can continue to grow. On the one side, of course, the pandemic forced a lot more people into using data. So you've got a wider number of people using data. And people more comfortable using larger amounts of data. And, you know, the game is to see how that compares versus a year ago. If some of those behaviors have stuck. I think some of them have. And then the other thing which of course I've mentioned already, is the mobile money, more for Vodacom and MTN. But I think, in the outlook for the rest of 2021, you should see that mobile money continue to do very nicely and continue to grow well. Around the rest of the continent. It doesn't really work in South Africa because we have such a well-organized financial system here already, that the requirements aren't quite so necessary. We've got more people with, that are banked, but around the rest of the continent, yeah, I think the outlook for mobile money for the rest of this year is actually quite good.
All right. Okay. And just as a follow-up, do you think we've sort of entered a period, because there has been, you know, quite a bit of growth in MTN and Telkom since the start of the year. Are investors at that stage where they're willing to perhaps commit a little bit more money to the growth promise of MTN and Telkom versus the stable returns that Vodacom has been offering all over all of this time?
That's always a tough one. And I think, the thing to always remember is that the share price right now is exactly the overall market's opinion. So, you know, yes, I think the market is maybe, or has become a bit more excited about what MTN has to offer and Telkom as well. But, you know, these aren't the only companies out there. There's lots of other opportunities, not just, in South Africa, but around the world.
Mm-hmm. Definitely, definitely. So that's been it. We're talking to David Lurch, who is the head of equities at Sanlam Private Wealth, talking specifically about the telecom sector in South Africa, you know, covering mainly the listed operators. That's Vodacom, MTN and Telkom. Just talking about the different dynamics that have been affecting these businesses, starting off the conversation, comparing them to the large tech players. And one of the big things that he was just highlighting interesting is that telecoms companies, as opposed to your large scale technology businesses like Google, is, I guess, the cost, that they have to actually put, into developing their networks, because these companies are spending billions each year. At some point, I know that they were spending about $10 billion a year just expanding their networks, building towers and things like that. And he's saying that makes it quite a different sort of situation to your technology companies that have network effects and that are able to add more users at a much lower cost. And he's then highlighting the fact that at this point, you know, MTN seems to be doing well, having communicated its strategy going forward, but there are a couple of things that they cannot control, such as the oil price, but that Vodacom has been efficient. And one of the things I really, you know, enjoyed was that comparison between how the different companies, you know, they have different ownership structures. And when you look at how they've executed their strategies over the years, you can see, you know, that part actually coming in, the influence of Vodafone in Vodacom, MTN being a group that has been, you know, going out and being the cowboys of the emerging markets for the last couple of decades, and Telkom, which is still partially state-owned at this time. So that's been it. David, thank you so much for availing yourself for this.
My pleasure, Madiba.
This is Madiba's Take.
As someone who looks at telecoms, media and technology companies on a daily basis, that was quite a fruitful discussion for me, talking to David just around what's going on in the telecom space. And I think just looking at what's happening in the industry, the point that he made about the costs that are actually going into some of these networks, the investment in network infrastructure, and making sure that these things happen, that they can expand 3G, 4G, and now there's some investments coming online when it comes to 5G, right? When you think about it from that point of view, it will be interesting to see how the industry does develop going forward, because I'm particularly interested in the model that Cell C has sort of brought on, where basically Cell C has said that they're going to, you know, stop their development of, you know, actual network towers, but they're going to use the spectrum that they do have, you know, using it through MTN's network, together with, you know, some of their traffic also going through Vodacom. So then they become a wholesale buyer of network capacity, but they have their own spectrum from that point of view. Spectrum being the radio waves on which, you know, information is sent and received over a network, very important to your network operators. And you see the way that MTN runs its own businesses, where they basically built a lot of these towers across their different networks, but they've gone into a number of deals over the years, such as with the American Tower Company and places like Ghana, places like Uganda, and you know, right now also in Nigeria, looking at how they can actually sit there and extract more value, because they've gone into sell and leaseback agreements where they've sold off that infrastructure and bought it and then leased it back from the people, you know, like the American Tower Company that they're working with. And they've actually indicated that in South Africa, that's what they're trying to do, where they've got about 12,700 towers, and they're looking to sell off, you know, part of that portfolio of towers and then lease them back from that owner. What does that do for their costs going forward? That issue that David raised earlier on about, you know, network investment. What does network investment look like over the next maybe 5 to 10 years' time for the big African players? We just wait and see. So So that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcasts on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab on Twitter, where #BDSpotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, wherever you choose to get your pods casted. Thank you to our amazing team. Our producer is Paige Muller. I've been Mudiwa Gawaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail, and this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So for myself and the rest of the team, it is good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.